Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Adventure Options Podcast. Michael Hodgson, he is who I interviewed this week. And if you haven't heard about Michael, then this episode will be a treat. And if you have heard of Michael, then it will remind you of why you enjoy his storytelling. Michael wears many hats in the adventure travel world, and he is one of the founders of High Travel Tales. We talk about travel and family and flying, as well as friends, connections, and books. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Adventure Writers, copywriting for the travel industry. If you need a copywriter, go to adventurewriters.agency for help. That's adventure, WRITERS.agency. Now for the show. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Well, Shana, thank you so much.
I am a little bit hesitant to interview you, and let me tell you why. So you, is that a good way to start this off?
Yeah, I'm such a scary person.
No, you're not. You're hilarious. But you were on my LinkedIn feed all the time. I mean, just every like third thing was either an article or something. And I thought, who is this Michael guy? Like, why is he all over the place? So I thought, I'm just going to reach out and ask him if he'll be interviewed. And you said yes. And then of course I got busy with life, and I actually just got home from a trip at midnight last night. And so I woke up this morning getting everything ready. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's kind of a big deal. He's kind of been all over the place. He's met everyone. He's traveled everywhere, and he's written for everyone. Shoot, this is a little scary.
Well, I'll try not to be intimidating.
Right? So,
right.
But then I did the thing in my mind where I flipped it, and I thought, okay, this is going to be the easiest interview ever because I'm just going to let him do it. So take it away, Michael.
Perfect. So I should just ask myself questions.
Just what would you ask yourself if you were interviewing yourself?
No. It's not that easy.
No, but in all seriousness, you kind of have your hands in a lot of realms as far as communicating travel to people. So you have your website. You've done a lot of journalism, a lot of writing. You do photography. Yep. You have a podcast. What's the name of your podcast again?
My Travel Tales.
My Travel Tales, which I'll put a link to everything. You're going to have the longest write-up for your podcast because I'm going to have to link all of your different things on there. But let's go way back to the beginning. How do you even get into this world? Were you born into it? Is it something your family did a lot? Or how do you get into the adventure travel world?
I've been traveling since I was a little baby. Actually, my mom used to take, both my parents are British. So in order to see family, I'm the only North American. In order to see family, we had to go to England. So I've been traveling in that sort of getting on a plane, going places since I was a year and a half, 2 years old. So traveling for me is second nature. I think also because of my mother. She was a dreamer. She was an adventurer in her mind. She never really got a chance to adventure. Women didn't back then. But she shared a lot of her dreams and adventures with me and books that she had, books of traveling in Burma and books of being a missionary in Africa and things that I think she dreamed of wanting to do, but she always shared those with me. When I was in college, I had the fortune to be able to travel widely and wildly. so that was good. And just travel's always fascinated me. I love people. I love adventure. I love new foods. I love history. I love discovery, which is really why I'm in journalism, because I get paid in a sense to play, right? I get paid to learn. I get people invite me on trips thinking, oh my goodness, he gets to come and cover this. I'm like, oh my goodness, I get to come and learn about this. So that's really, it's just been one step after another. I've been an outdoor writer. I've been a trade journal writer for the outdoor industry. And now since we sold that business, that was Snooze, we were trying to figure out what to do. And since we love to travel, my wife and I, she's an amazing photographer. She's much more the journalist than I am. She's a former newspaper journalist of the San Jose Mercury News. I'm just a hack trying to keep up with her. But together, we managed to make it work.
You do a lot of the articles on your website, which is, are you saying high travel tales or HI travel tales when you tell people?
It is high travel tales. Yeah.
Hightraveltales.com. A lot of the articles are written by your wife, Nikki, right?
Teresa. That would be my Therese.
Yeah, Therese. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, no, people call her Teresa. She answers to that. People call me a lot of things. I'll answer to just about anything. But my wife, Therese Iknoyan. Let me kill that in the background here. Hang on a second. There's Okay, good.
And because there's also a Nikki Hodgson on there, and that's your daughter, right?
That is my daughter, correct. Yeah, she's 35, and she's an amazing adventuress on her own. She lives in Boulder now, but she's had quite a few adventures.
It's like a family affair, this family of travel writer. I think it might be genetic. I'm trying to figure out how you and your wife share the same genes.
Yeah, no, we don't want to go there.
But what's interesting on your website, so all of you have articles on there, and I read through several of them. All of you have very unique voices as far as your writing styles go, like very unique, very different ways of describing. And I enjoyed all of them. It was terrible. I spent all morning long just reading through articles, just enjoying myself. When you get home from a vacation, you have a load of stuff to do to catch up with. And I just spent the whole morning reading articles about travels and stuff. It was really fun.
Well, that's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. So what was your favorite article? See, I'm going to interview you now.
Let's go right into it. There was one, and it's only because it is so applicable to my life right this instant. You wrote one about this lady who was sitting next to you who has a fear of flying.
Oh, yes.
And it was when you were flying out of Salt Lake and you hit the geese and you had to turn around and the captain had, or captain or co-captain, somebody had blood on them and geese feathers.
The co-pilot.
Yeah. Co-pilot, okay.
Co-pilot.
So the reason why this is hilarious, I think the world's biggest fear of flying. Like, bar none, Oh, yes, I hate it. I hate flying. And it's so funny because when you said in there that you told her the chances of you dying in a car crash are way more than dying in a plane, I thought, we all know that. It doesn't help. That doesn't help because it's just, there's something about falling from the sky versus, you know, just hit in a car, bam, done, versus hit in a plane, fall forever and then die.
Right.
But anyways, I think my FOMO, my fear of missing out, is just slightly higher than my fear of flying. So I keep going. But it was funny. We had kind of a turbulent flight last night, flying from Las Vegas back to Portland. And right off the get-go, it did that drop thing where it drops a little bit and it kind of feels roller coastery and it's just kind of terrifying. And so it just got my nerves going for the whole flight.
Right.
So we got back, we landed. I don't scream or anything like that, but I definitely am white knuckled and maybe a few tears and I just do not enjoy the flying experience. But we got down and we landed, and the guy who is sitting kind of kitty corner in front of me, we landed and he turns around and he gave me a fist bump and he just was like, "I'm so proud of you." So embarrassing. I was like,
So you told everyone you're afraid of flying then?
Apparently, my body told everyone on that plane that was a terrible flight.
Oh, that's fun.
So that article, I think that article really spoke to my soul because.
Right.
And then it wasn't good when you're like, I've landed sideways. I've done this. I've had emergency this. I'm like, I should not. I'm glad I just got back from flying when I read that article versus reading that like on the way to the airport. I feel like not good.
I think flying gets that level of fear for people because you're not in control, and there's something sort of not logical about being up in the air, and when you hit turbulence, it's just like hitting a rough highway. That's really all it is. But it just, logically, you don't think that way.
Well, and I had someone explain it to me that it was like, that air is a lot like water, like the ocean. Right. It comes in waves. There are waves and you're going to hit the waves and it's going to make you rock a little bit.
Sure.
And that's super comforting when you're sitting on the ground. It is right. not super comforting when you are 35,000 feet above the earth.
Right, right, right. Well, there's really nothing you could say. You just have to say, please pass me another whiskey. I would like another whiskey, please. I think that it's funny because Nikki, she's going to kill me for sharing this, but she is also afraid of flying and she's flown all over the world. But you know, she's like you. And I think like many people where your sense of adventure outweighs the sense of fear. And so you keep going for it. And I'm glad you do.
I love that though. I love hearing about other people like that too, that it's just, you know, you may not enjoy it, but the reward of being somewhere new is just slightly worth it, like slightly higher.
I think if you keep traveling, it's got to be more than slight.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and it was like you said, you in your article, you were telling the lady, well, what if you wanted to go over the ocean? And she's like, I'll just take a boat. I thought, oh, that sounds terrible. I'd rather clench my fists for 4 hours than watch the ocean for 2 weeks.
Boats have their own pleasure. You have to be a different sort of personality to enjoy a long boat voyage, but boats are fun in their own right. Boats are definitely fun.
I think the other article that I really, really liked was one that your daughter did about slow travel.
Yeah, that was
your
a great one.
About slow travel. I just thought that was beautiful. And I liked that. I felt like and I don't know your daughter, so I might be misreading her by one article, but I felt like I got to know a little bit of her personality and how it's different than yours and different than your wife's. And it was a really nice article. Everybody go read it. Slow travel.
Yeah, she has her own writing style and her own personality, thank goodness. So, yeah.
So is that what she's doing full time as well, is travel and writing and stuff?
No, she's a very gifted writer, but she is a sustainability manager for the Outdoor Industry Association in Boulder.
Oh, nice.
And she has a horse and a dog, so she's pretty well grounded these days. And
then she fits right in Boulder. We lived in Boulder we lived right outside Boulder for about 8 years, and yes, you definitely have to have a dog. The horse is optional.
Right.
The dog is a must.
Well, she's got the truck, she's got the bike, she's got the horse, she's got the dog, she's got the skis. She's set.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's go back to you. You said you kind of started traveling in college. Was that part of a job or was that just leisurely on your time off or part of your education? Where does that fit in?
It was just part of my dreaming, and I had an opportunity when I was my sophomore year going into junior year to travel to Africa and spend some time in Kenya. So I jumped at that opportunity. In between all of that, I was traveling on my own to various places. I met the superintendent at the time of the Canadian Park System when I was a freshman. And that parlayed into me working for the Canadian Park System and a brand new park at that time, Pukasa National Park. And so I got a chance to travel into a new national park and help plan a part of the trail system. Got a chance to spend the entire summer mountaineering in the Wind River Range and then up in the Cascades. Just because I met somebody and they invited me along and I met. So what you're getting from this is I talk myself into things quite a bit. So I managed to listen in and hear opportunities and go, hey, I'd like to do that. And before I actually think, wait, do I really want to do that? But they've all turned out incredible and they've had amazing influences on me. When I lived in Kenya for a while, that was life-changing. And I think that more than anything has driven my desire to explore places, but I love to travel, whether it's locally, and travel can be just 20 miles away, or across the ocean or to new countries, or, I love to meet people. I love to discover things.
I am surprised. Maybe I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I don't know what the word is, but there's so many people I interview who have a like tender spot in their heart for Africa, that when they traveled to Africa, it changed them or did something to them that really just changed the course of their life. So that's interesting to hear your take on Kenya and how it's been influential to you. Let's go to your time in Canada. Is this kind of when you got the inspiration for some of your books? Because I know a lot of your books have to do with mountaineering and camping and stuff like that.
Well, early on, I wasn't a travel writer. I was an outdoor writer. So that was really what I focused on. I wrote for Backpacker Magazine, Outside Magazine. I was a gear editor for Men's Health for a while. So all of my focus was really on backpacking, climbing, mountaineering, skiing, whitewater rafting, paddling, anything that would get me outdoors playing in an adventure sense. And none of that really was international. Did a little bit of it in Canada, but most of it was in the U.S. And so that really was my world. And granted, you have to travel to go everywhere, right? So there's a very thin line separating an adventure traveler from a mountaineer, from a backpacker. We all travel. So that was my early days.
Your early days. I love that. And a lot of your books are available on Amazon. I'll put a link to, there's kind of a page on Amazon about your biography that has a lot of your books on there. So I'll put a link to that. But which one of your books that you've written is your favorite?
Which one is my favorite? That's a good one. And I'm surprised they're all still in print. It's kind of funny because they're old books, which means I'm an old guy. But you know, the most fun I had writing was, and these are, I think, out of print. You might be able to find them, were humor books. I love to write humor. And I had a chance to do a contest with a publisher at the time, ICS Books. And we created this No Shit, There I Was contest. And that turned into four books, which were very successful. The first was the most successful, and the most fun I had with that was a friend of mine was on the cover of that book, Todd Skinner. Unfortunately, he passed away in a climbing accident that was shot by an amazing photographer, Galen Rowell, and he gave me permission to use that photograph on the cover of No Shit, There I Was One. So I think that's my favorite book for a variety of reasons.
And there's quite a few of the, like, it's like a series of those books. And yes, you can still buy them on Amazon, just so you know.
But, oh, good.
Yeah. But there is it a compilation of stories from people, or are they stories from your life?
I have two stories in each book, but it was done as a writing contest. So the top 20 got published. The top two got cash prize money. The grand prize winner, I think, was $1,500 or something. I can't remember what it was at the time. But we had some amazing writers submitting and trying to enter the contest, which, you know, it's that classic, our idea behind this, Shannon, was it's that classic tale of No Shit, There I Was. And then you just elaborate it and let it riff from there. So the wilder, the better, the less believable, the better.
I love it. And I love that your humor comes through in a lot of your writing modalities. Like, you can hear it in the articles that you write on your website. You can tell it from the titles of books, and even the titles of your articles always have just a little bit of wit in them. And I love that.
Yeah, you can't be too serious. I like to have fun. I think we all take ourselves too seriously at times, and that's never been a problem for me. I enjoy making people laugh. I enjoy laughter myself. So yeah, I'm glad you've noticed that. I'm glad it makes you smile.
It does. I love it. So tell me how Therese comes into the picture. How do you guys meet?
Therese and I met about 23 years ago in San Jose, and she was had gone off on her own freelancing career. And we met online, actually, when she sent me an email asking me about a new contract that the San Jose Mercury News was trying to do at the time. It was one of those classic contracts back in the 90s when lawyers suddenly decided, ooh, we've just discovered the internet. Ooh, we can own everything any writer has ever created. Ooh, let's write a new contract. And they were absolutely abhorrent. I don't mind saying. Literally, the stuff the lawyers were coming up with was, we own your first story. We own any other idea you might have. We own your children's stories. We own your children's stories. And oh, by the way, you don't get any extra money for them. Have the money from the first story. I mean, they were ridiculous. And so Teresa was a little, shall we say, she was an advocate for freelance writers. And so she contacted me through that, and we developed a long friendship, and that friendship developed into a relationship, and we've been married now 20 years.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. And then, so was she living in California at the time?
Yeah, she's a California, born in Fresno, California girl. And she was living in San Jose, just like I was.
And that's where you guys are based now? Or where in California are you now?
We are in Grass Valley, California, which is up in the Sierra Gold Country, the foothills just outside of Sacramento. Yeah.
Did she come from an adventure travel background, or did she kind of start doing that with you once you guys met?
No, she's always had an adventurous spirit. I mean, her parents never traveled widely, but they did a lot of the national park stuff as families did. She was always encouraged by her parents, but she just had this desire to explore. She left home to go to San Francisco University. She was a journalism major. She's fluent in German. That took her to Germany, where she studied in Heidelberg. Then she had a fellowship in Hamburg. She runs her own translation business right now on the side, and very successful for translating for German and Austrian companies, or Germanic speaking countries and companies into the English language. So she's always loved to travel.
That's just fascinating. I just love seeing couples who get together, who just feel like they were made for each other, and just reading your stories and hearing your story feels like it was just a kind of a perfect fit.
Yeah, it was definitely meant to be. She's certainly the love of my life. So,
I'm going to have to publish this on Valentine's Day or something.
I know the timing of this right before the 14th.
Yeah. I'm going to take that clip, just that small little clip, and I'm going to email it to her on Valentine's Day. There you go. I got you covered.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
So how often do you think you guys travel now?
How often do we travel now? Considering that travel, we also consider travel local, right? So we're constantly out adventuring. I mean, we're heading out on Friday to go out on a long adventure to kind of discover some trails and local areas, which has been fun because we've spent all this time the last 20 years traveling all over the world, and in the last 3 years with our blog, traveling all over the world. And we suddenly went, we probably should write about where we live. What a concept. So we're trying to do more of that. Traveling internationally, we're probably traveling 3.5-4 months out of the year.
That's a big chunk.
It is a big chunk, but we love it. It's what we do. Teresa's, and we travel together and we travel separately. So, which is fun. Teresa's off to Morocco in another month. So, and I'll be staying home. So,
oh, lucky Therese.
Yeah, I know. Morocco, always been a dream of mine, but she gets to go. We'll figure it out together probably next year. But yeah.
So are you usually on an assignment when you go do these things, or are you just doing them for your own HI Travel Tales?
Hi Travel Tales or HI Travel Tales. Yeah.
Sorry.
I know everybody wants to do HI Travel Tales. That's okay. And actually the story between Hi Travel Tales is H Hodgson, I Iknoyan.
Oh. At first I was like, maybe it's Hawaii Travel Tales, because
H no.
is Hawaii thing. Or maybe I was they like to go in elevation, like, and they're being cheeky about the high travel down.
Right. Right. Or it could be a drug sort of thing. There's all sorts of ways you could take this. Right. Yeah. Right. But no, it is actually Therese thought of this. It's actually high Hodgson Iknoyan and then travel tales. So
that is brilliant. Now that I know what it is.
Yeah. Now that you know, and of course, as I share that, I forgot the question you just asked, so you're going to have to ask it again.
Oh, you're good. If it was just if you're going on an assignment when you're traveling, usually, right. Or are you just doing it on your own?
We're actually pretty lucky because we have a successful travel blog that's ours that we own, so we get to assign things to ourselves. It's very fun. So we pretty well get to do what we want, how we want, where we want, when we want, and that's a very fortunate place to be in.
Okay, I have a new life goal, And it's to live that sentence that you just said. I want, when I want, how I want.
with whom you want.
With Very whom important. I want. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I would still pick my husband. I have a lot of kids. I don't know if I would take all of them on every center.
All right. So explain that you have a lot of kids part.
I've got four kids.
That's a lot of kids. That's so yeah. Kids, yeah. Yeah.
They're so sweet though. Going back to my story before, they are not afraid of flying. So they'll like hold my hand and tell me that it's going to be okay, mommy. And they're the ones saying, this is normal. Turbulence is normal.
kids are funny that way. They're there was one flight I was on. I think Teresa was on this flight too. I can't remember. But the turbulence was just, it was the kind of turbulence where everyone in the plane just gets really quiet because it was bad. And I was like, going, this is bad. And all of a sudden there were two little kids in the back and the plane is going up. And then it was just dropping really fast, like a roller coaster. And then we'd go up and then drop really fast. And all of a sudden these little kids started going, And I kid you not, we turn around and they're putting their arms up in the air. They're having the time of their lives because they think this is just a great ride. And that just, for the entire plane, it just relaxed everybody because we were just laughing at them. It was like, it could have been the most terrifying thing, but because of these two kids having a ride of their lives, it was fun. It suddenly became fun. So it's all it's wonderful. Your kids are there to support you.
Oh, that makes me so happy. That's the cutest story. So cute. So, Michael, I'm going to ask you a really tough question. Everybody hates that I ask this, and everybody hates that everybody always asks this, but where is your favorite place to go?
The last place I've been.
Everybody says that too, and you can't say that.
No, but I just said that. It really depends.
On your mood?
On your mood, it is the last place I've been is the favorite place I have been. Teresa and I both have the same travel style, and that is immersive travel. We're not the kind of travelers that likes to just go check a box. We'll go back to the same destination many times, and that's because even in places where you live, it changes. The more you visit, the more you open yourself up to what's happening around you. The light changes, the mood changes, the climate changes, the weather changes, the people change. It's a different experience every time you go to a place. So you really start to understand it the more you immerse yourself in it. So I'm really not kidding by the last place I've been, because very often the last place we've been is a place we've been numerous times, and because we love it. That said, there are places that have certainly stood out to me. Antarctica, absolutely amazing place. Would I go back to it? Yes, in a heartbeat. It just, who doesn't love penguins, right? So, being able to experience penguins, to experience the wildlife, to experience the stark beauty, the silence that's not silent in Antarctica is pretty amazing. Argentina and Northern Argentina, fell in love with Northern Argentina. Love the people. Love the scenery. Love everything about it. Up in the Puna, the high desert. We wrote about that, and certainly in Salta, loved all that. Berlin. I love Berlin. As a city, we go back to Berlin all the time. Love Berlin. It's a cosmopolitan city that's got edge. It's got grit. It's still growing. It's still finding itself. It's everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, it's just exciting. It's alive. It's vibrant. It doesn't sleep. And everyone gets along. It's really, truly amazing to be in that city. Rich, poor, gay, straight, black, white, it doesn't matter. People just get along. It's the just don't be an asshole type philosophy. You're fine as long as you're not an asshole. If you're an asshole, okay, we're going to have some problems here. But otherwise, you see people interacting and it's just wonderful. Yeah, so Berlin.
That's beautiful. Do you find that these places that you go back to multiple times that you start forming friendships with people there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, it's Therese and I are, if you ever travel with Therese and I and you hadn't met us, we like to engage people. We like to talk to people. We'll talk to the person sitting across us on the aisle in the plane. We'll talk to people on the train. We'll talk to people in restaurants. So for us, yeah, sometimes you get people very clearly. It's like, just, you know, we don't want to talk, and that's cool. But more often than not, you start to discover things. You discover the restaurant owner has a connection to something that you have a connection to. And then the friendship kind of grows from there.
Oh, I love that. Michael, this has been a pleasure to speak with you and to kind of hear a little bit about your life and your background and your family. Why don't you close this out by giving us just some piece of advice, something you would tell someone who wants to get into adventure travel?
Well, there's no such thing to me as getting into adventure travel. You either travel or you don't. And travel is either an adventure or it's not. Travel, I think, by its very nature, because you're going to some place, hopefully, that you've never been before, it's a journey of discovery. So go with eyes wide open. Go with your mind wide open. Go with no expectations. If you find yourself saying, oh, this is just like home, or going to try and find the local McDonald's, or not staying in a 5-star hotel, maybe you're not traveling as well as perhaps you could. Traveling's about understanding and learning and embracing other cultures, other beliefs. It's about listening. It's about not judging. So go with an open mind, go with an open heart, find new places and learn a lot about yourself. That's travel.
That was perfect. Thank you so much for coming on, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Shana. I really enjoyed it.
Shana here. Don't you think Michael has such a smooth voice, which complements his easy storytelling abilities? Until next time, auf Wiedersehen.